Okay, the first thing I want to do is go over the calculate payroll one that I asked you to do. And have you sent it to me?
I have not, no.
Okay. You have?
Yes.
Okay. You still have to do it, but I'm going to put another one up that you have to do as well that's similar to it.
Okay.
If it didn't come in today, because... And that's going to be true of the one I put up for next week, too, is that they have to be in on the Monday so that I can go over them. Okay, so here is one version, and I've got two versions that we're going to look at. One is just done in plain JavaScript, and one is done with DOM. Okay, so I started out, and the one that I'm going to have you do is going to be similar to this, so hopefully you're going to learn how to do it by watching today. So I'm going to put in the name, and I didn't hide. I could have gone through, but I wasn't being that sophisticated at this point. And hid the salary box unless I clicked salary, and hid the hourly box unless I clicked hourly. But I didn't do that. I just assumed that the person entering was smart enough that if they clicked salary, they'd enter a salary. Okay. So if I click salary and enter a salary, and it's $52,000, which is my standard salary because it's so nicely divisible by 52. And then I'm going to pick a medical plan of A. And when I say calculate your pay, it gives me $950. Okay, so that it took the salary, divided it by 52, and gave me $1,000. Plan A was a deduction of $50, so I'm now at $950. Okay. If I went with hourly, then if I put in 50 and 50 and leave them plan A, I can leave salary there because it won't touch it, but it looks prettier if I take it out. And I calculate the pay, and it is 50 times 50 is 250, so I must be doing some overtime in there. I've got different versions of this, some of which I did overtime and some of which I didn't. I'm going to change that to hours worked of 40, and then it is 40 times 50 is 2,000, and the pay is 1950, because I subtract the $50 again. Okay, so if I look at the code on this, and the doing overtime was not a requirement, as I recall. Okay, so I've got the form set up. And with the form, I needed these two checkboxes, radio buttons. And they're both called pay type. And then I needed the radio buttons for the medical plan, and I call them med type. And then I have the input boxes to put in the name, to put in the paper hour, to put in the hours worked, and to put in the salary. Okay? And I just noticed one of those I left the BR, the others I took them out. Okay? Go figure. But it doesn't, as I said, matter. Okay, so on click, I am saying, execute calc pay, send it the information in payroll, and payroll is the name of the form. So I'm sending it the information in the form. I could have sent it all of the fields individually, but I decided to send it all the information in the form. When it is finished, it has a return. So it returns your pay. And when it returns it, that your pay that it returns becomes the value of the field called pay. And so here is the field called pay, and it will show up in that field, as you saw, and it did. So that's the form that I have laid out. Okay? And if you go back and look at the form again, there it is. Okay? Under type, I have the two radio buttons of salary and hourly. And under medical plan, they are plan A, plan B, and plan C. So, now I've come up here and the function that I'm calling is called CalcPay, and I sent it payroll. Then I've got two work fields that I decided I wanted, and I said variable overtime hours, variable overtime pay. I didn't give either of them an initial value. I could have given them a zero. And then I set up your pay. And I gave that a value of zero, okay? Now that, if I was gonna be consistent, I should have had a bear in front of, but you can get away with just putting the variable in like that, okay? So if I wanted to, probably the best way of doing this would have been to say variable overtime pay equals zero, overtime hours equals zero, variable overtime pay equals zero, variable your pay equals zero. Okay. So now I'm saying I want to check and see which one. And since I gave them both the same name of pay type, I'm going to check the first one and I put a zero in the square brackets. Okay. If I had put an ID in this one, then I could have used the name, okay? Because again, name is the same for radio buttons. They're in a group, and the ID is different, okay? But I chose to say I want the first one in the group, and so pay type checked. I'm checking to see if that's true, and if it is, then I'm saying go to the payroll form, get the field called Sal, which is on that form, and I sent that form to it, and then take the value and divide it by 52. And that gives me the salary. Else, I am calculating overtime, okay? And as I said, I don't think I told you you had to do that or anything. I just put it in. So I have the value here. If it's less than or equal to 40, then I simply multiply hours worked, which is on the payroll form, take its value and multiply it by pay per hour on the payroll form in its value. Okay? And if I get the else, then I go into an overtime calculation. Okay, so I take the hours worked, subtract 40, figure out that overtime pay is going to be their pay per hour times the overtime hours times 1.5, and then I take the hours and multiply it by 40 to get plus the overtime pay. Okay. Then I came down and said, if medical type is checked, and again I use the zero and the one. So I said if medical type zero is checked, subtract $50. If medical type one is checked is true, subtract 35, otherwise subtract 25. Now you as a programmer have to make the decision here. I made the decision that everybody had to be in the cheap plan. So if they weren't in the payroll plan A and payroll plan B, then they had to be in payroll plan C. And so I didn't ask about that. If there was a possibility that they weren't in any payroll plan, then I should have asked about that. If med type 2 checked equals true, then subtract 25, else subtract 0. And the same thing is true up in the original one when I asked, is the 01 checked? And I made the assumption that if they weren't salary, they were hourly. Okay? That one, if they weren't checked, then it probably should have given out an error message. Okay? As opposed to just assuming they were hourly. But I, in this one, just assumed that if they weren't salary, they were hourly. Okay. Better to have thrown up an error message probably on this one. Okay. So whatever way I calculated, if you look at them, whatever calculation I did, I ended up with your pay having the amount that I want to pay them. So if it was hourly, I have the your pay after I figure it out. If it's salaried, it's your pay when I divide the salary by 52. They're all your pay. So down at the bottom, when I say, okay, take your pay, and this is a way of rounding it. If you say math.round, if you take it, multiply it by 100, and divide it by 100, believe it or not, that rounds it. Okay? And then, so I rounded your pay, and then I said, return your pay. So it returned your pay, and your pay came in down here. So when I said, return your pay, it becomes return to there, and says, you get the value of pay, so it goes to there. So when I do the function, I am returning the answer, and I am putting it in pay. Okay. Questions? Okay, if there aren't, we will look at the other one, which is file, open file, and it is the DOM one. Okay, so this one is done with DOM. The same thing. Okay, so calculate your pay is now $975. If their salary, because plan C is $25. And if they're hourly, it's $19.75. Okay. So this one was done using DOM and using getElementById mainly. So on this one, I am, first of all, when I set up the form, I put IDs on the things that have the buttons, and I put IDs on the other fields. So if you look at this, every field has an ID. And that means, since they all have an ID, I can use getElementById all over the place on this. Okay, because I define them all with an ID. So therefore, I didn't have to send anything. I just said, go do calpay, and the value of pay that you return, your pay that you return, becomes the value of pay. Okay. So now I come up here and I say function calculate pay, and I set up the same variables. And then I said if document get element by ID pay type S is checked. Okay, so I'm looking at the ID and saying if pay type S is checked. So if I scroll down, there's pay type S. Okay, so there's pay type S. It's the ID for the first one of the pay types. So I said if ID is pay type S, basically, by saying get element by ID. So I'm saying get the one that has the ID of pay type S. So if that element is checked, if that's true, then I want to get the field that Sal is the ID of and take it and divide it by 52. Okay? Else, I'm checking to see if the hours worked, and so I'm again using the ID is less than or equal to 40, and I'm going through that. And I go through the calculation referring to find the one that has the ID of hours work and multiply it by the one that has the ID of pay per hour. And so I go through and do that using get element by ID. And then I came down and said, okay, now I want to subtract. So I'm saying if document get element by ID is med type A, if that is checked, okay, then I want to subtract 50. Otherwise, I'll check and see if med type B is checked. And if it is, I'm subtracting 35. Otherwise, I'm subtracting 25. I basically went in and took the previous program and just redid it with the same style and everything, but this time using get element by ID for all of the things, which I think really is the easier approach. Get element by ID is a long thing to type. It would have been lovely if they had come up with a shorter thing, but I think it works reasonably straightforward and easy design and easy to work with. Which did you do when you did yours? Did you do it with the DOM or with the DOM? Okay, any questions? Alrighty. Okay, next week we do not have class on Monday, and it's not a makeup one, so we won't have any class on Monday. Just so you know, our last day for student withdrawal is April 11th, which means that if people do not pass the course, I don't have any choice. I have to give them an F. I'm not allowed to withdraw you after the second week, but you can withdraw up through April 11th. And why isn't that showing up?
Could it be here in 120?
You're right.
It scared me with demo Visual Studio.
Thank you. I was going to say, I know I put those up last night, and I know I checked them. I really do. I honestly did. Okay. I've got some Dawn ones that we're going to look at. I'm going to look at some there that aren't, but just some kind of interesting things. Leftovers, kind of. That's kind of the group of leftovers. And then we'll look at a group of leftovers with Dom that I actually posted last week and we didn't get to. Okay, so Dom Git Info was simply a very straightforward. I think we looked at one similar to this. So up here, I've got a series of A's that have an H reference on them. And if I want to know, I can count how many there are of those, and I can do other things based on the A. Okay. In this one, I have a division set up that's kind of my header. Then I set up a division that is kind of the navigation. Then I set up a division that is content, and if I had something to close things, I would have set up a division that would call footer. And a lot of times people use this style where they say, okay, I'm going to have a division that's my header, and then I'm going to have a division that has, if I put navigation in, I'm going to have a division that is where I do the content. And they kind of label the divisions to make it break down into I have my header, my footer, and my content. And then I had a separate one in there that also did navigation. And so you can choose to do that kind of thing. Okay. And then I went in and I basically wrote some stuff out. And set the style to pink and set a background style on the things that were nav. So this has an ID of nav, and I went in and set its background style to beige. Okay, so I can go in and pick a certain area. And this one, the ID is for the whole UL. And so I can go in and just say, I want that to have a style background of beige. Those are the things I wanted to comment on this. And the header, I said I wanted to get, okay, get element by ID header, put that into two set, and now change two set style. So I'm basically saying change the style of header. Because I said put header into two set, and now I'm saying two set style should be a color of pink, which means that the font color is pink. Okay. Okay, the rest of these I don't think are Dom until I get to the Dom ones. This is an old, old one that I did, and I wanted to just point out a few things on it, which is why I keep it around. I checked the clock, the date, and it's April 8th, 2019, and day schedule is in effect. And day schedule is going to be looking at the time. So if I look at the view page source of this, okay, so I set up an array that went up through 12 for the months of the year. Okay, and so I'm just ignoring zero. Okay, the part that I helped, that was very clever. Where did it go? There it is. Okay, the part I wanted to look at on this one is the date part. And I can say I want to set up today's date as new date. And then I can go in and get the parts of it. So I can get the date. I can get the month. Now the month, interestingly enough, I had to add one to, because the array that they have set up for months goes from 0 to 11. So if I wanted to be 1 to 12, which I did to get the word, then I have to add 1 to what they send me. So today, they get month, will send me 0 to. Then I said, okay, and this is, as I said, very old. This has Netscape in it, which was my favorite browser way back when, okay? But I wanted to point out here that this has a, Netscape had a different way of working with the date than some of the others. Some did it one way, some did it another. And so I was able to, in this one, go in and say the navigator app name equals Netscape. So in other words, if this browser is Netscape, then I want to do the calculation of the year one way. Otherwise, I want to do the calculation of the year another way. Okay? So if you find this is of value at some points, that if you find that something doesn't look right in one browser, but you can actually test it, this is an older way of testing it. And we'll look at another way of testing it later. Not today. And then I went down and said, okay, get the hours. And then I could test the hours. So I can say if the hours are greater than 8 and the hours are less than 16, right, the day schedule is in effect, and so forth. So I could go in and grab the different parts of the date and do some checking. So after checking, I said, now go to the month array and put out TMO. And again, I had to add one to that because the number that was coming into me was 0 to 11, and I set it up for 1 through 12. And then I concatenated it with the day that came in. I concatenated it with the year that came in and a comma in there. And after checking, I clocked for the date and gave the date. So there is the line that says, after checking our clock for the date, April 8th, 2019, day schedule is in effect. Okay. And if you ran this at night, you're going to see a different answer. And the next one of that is a very similar thing, except that I went in and got Monday. So I now have the addition in there of Monday. Okay, so I set up an array that went 0 to 7, or to 6 rather, for the days of the week. And today word is what I set up, and it went to the array and got the date. Okay, so I came in with get day, and that's today word, and I went up to that array and grabbed the day, the verbal day out of it, so that I could get the day of the week in here. So that's just a few things I wanted to point out on those. Okay, here I've got an endless loop. So I've got a whole load of images here. And I set up an array of those images. And this
is a way that I can do that. I can set up an array of different images. And then I said I was going to have a function called cycle. And down at the bottom, I said, onload do cycle. Okay, so onload do cycle. And what I did is I said, all right, cycle is going to have an image source of snow. That means it's my first picture. The name is going to be rotate. Okay? And so the name of that field is going to be rotate. And its width is set up at 50% and its height at 50%. So I have an initial page, and on load, I go to cycle. And then if you look at the function cycle, it says the source for the field called rotate down here is going to be the source of first array index, Spotify by index. So it's 0, then I add 1 to index. If index equals 6, I set it back to 0. Okay. So I keep scrolling through this. And each time, the set timeout for the cycle is 1,000. So I wait for 1,000 before I, 1,000 whatevers, milliseconds or milliseconds. And I wait for the 1,000 before I do it again. Okay, so I have set up there an endless array of those pictures. If I go back and look, it's still going. Because I don't have anything that gets me out of this. I said onload, do cycle, and I never got out. So I have an endless loop going on. And there it goes. Okay, now if you want to have a loop that you choose to rotate, you can bring it up and say, I want to rotate, and I will get the different pictures as I rotate through. Okay, so this is, you know, if you go to real estate ads and you're looking at some place, they will rotate you through the pictures of the house, and you can click a button and rotate through. And so on this function, okay, on this one I have a form and I have a button that says rotate, and on click I do the cycle. So I do the code, and I don't have the timer on there, and I just do it once. I don't have it so that it does it again. I just, on click, I do this. So I say, on click, show me the next thing. If index equals index plus 1, if that takes me over 6, go back to 0. So I will recycle through. But the difference is that I don't have the set timer there. I've got the control on the button. So the button is going to step through the things in the array and show one image at a time, but it's going to move on to the next image. And when I hit 6, it's going to reset and give me the first one all over again. Okay. And as I said, if you go to things like real estate ads, they will have the rooms in the house or the apartment, and they will cycle you through the rooms so that you can click and see the rooms as you go, and where the timing is up to the user as opposed to the timing being out of the control of the user. Okay. Southwest is kind of an interesting one. Again,
these are some old ones, but they still have information in them that I think is good to have. So this one is a form that you can fill in. And
if you make a choice over here as to whether you want an rhododendron, an azalea, which is not spelled right, a flowering tree, or a shrub. Okay, so you've got a choice of what you want. So if I pick rhododendrons, then it tells me the price range for the selected category. So if I pick rhododendron, I get that price range. If I pick flowering tree, I get that price range. So I get a different price range depending on what I pick. Okay. So if you go into this, the first thing I have down here is a form where I have the nursery choice. And I said select, the name is going to be item choice. And I put all the options in there. And if they pick that one, I give them, it says make a choice. So if they start out, they will give, make a choice. And then I got rhododendrons, azaleas, flowering trees, and shrubs. And on change, so if this changes, then on change, I will go and do the function called set price. And I will send it the selected index from item choice, which is on nursery choice. Okay, so the form is nursery choice. On it, I have a field, and it turns out it's the only field on this form. I have a field called item choice. And on change, which is an event, on change, it will go do the function called set price, and it will send it the selected index. So it's going to send it 0, 1, 2, 3, or 4. So it's going to send it the selected index. So if I go up and find that, okay, there is the function called set price. Okay, and right above it is an array that I have. So if they chose make choice and they set up the zero, it will come back and say no choice because you didn't make a choice. When I chose rhododendrons, it came back with the next thing that said 25 to 100. So the index that it was choosing, this would be a zero, this would be a one, this would be a two, down to four. So I chose rhododendrons, so it sent a 1 up, 0, 1, it gets me the 25 to 100. If I send up a 3, then it is 0, 1, 2, 3, and that's what it would show. Okay. So the function set price gets the pass parameter, and so it gets the index 0, 1, 2, 3, or 4. And it says, okay, go to the price group array with the pass parameter, which is 0 through 4, and get the value of the price, and make that the value of the price field on the document. Okay, so it makes that the value of the price field on the nursery price form on the document. And if I scroll down just a little, I might be able to pick that up. Nope, So it says, okay, send the pass parameter. So I'm sending the index of 0, 1, 2, 3, or 4. I'm sending that up to this function. And this function says, okay, set price. This is the name of the function. And that's the function that I call. And sends the number up to it as pass parameter. And then it goes to the array and pulls out from pass parameter the right price and puts it out. It becomes the value of the field called price, which is in the form. And so if I go down to the form, there's the field call price. I knew it was there someplace. So there's the field call price, which is on the form. So if you go back and look at the form, there's the field call price. Questions?
Where's the past form? The pass parameters, you have that in the function. Is that just defining what the function is sending back to the array?
Yeah, it's what the pass parameters is what it receives the index. So I'm saying go to set price and send it an index.
Okay.
And so it receives the index as pass parameters.
Okay.
So it receives the index as pass param, and then it says, okay, now take that thing that I received, go up to price group, and figure out which price group it is. And so it then goes up to price group and takes the right number out of it. So you choose the group, and I'll give you the price range for that group. Yes, no, maybe?
Yep, I did everything as the DOM, so I need to do an exercise, but just paper.
Right, and, you know, unfortunately the world is still both. And so, as I said, these are old ones that I am bringing up that just I have never rewritten. Okay, the next one is animation. Okay, and this is the extent of my artistic ability. So I'm doing animation there, folks. And I did it with this new image thing, which is one of the ways you can define an image. I actually should redo it the other way, too. Maybe I'll do that this weekend. But anyway, I've got four images. So animation really is that I went in and made all the images. Okay, now they have wonderful software that you can show them kind of the beginning point and the ending point, and it will do the stuff in between to get you from one place to another and all that good stuff. But when you first started doing animation, this is the way you did it. And you went in and you drew all the pictures, and then you rotated through the pictures, okay? So I went in and I made the four pictures of the person in different stages of stretching their arms and legs, etc. And that was my thing. And my document rotate was the same as we did with an endless loop. It's just now it looks like animation because it's basically the same picture, but slightly different, and so it kind of looks like animation. Okay. And I did this again on load, so it just keeps going forever and ever. And this
time out says, do cycle again after 1,000 milliseconds.
So it does it again after that amount of time. So it makes the loop. And then this one, I made them go up and down. So on this one, I needed to go whether it was going up or down. And so I had a directory, a code, a flag, whatever you want to call it, called U, and one called D. And so it came in, and the first thing it said was it's going to go down. And so if directory equals goes down, I add one to the index. And I keep going till it hits 4, and when it hits 4, I reset it to up. Okay? And so if it's equal to up, I subtract one from the pictures till I get to 0. And I then, if I hit 0, I changed it to down. So now it will go down 4 images, and then it will go up 4 images, and then it will go down, and then it will go up. And I changed the timing a little bit so it goes a little faster. Okay. So that's how animation was done in the primitive times. And as I said, now there's software that makes life a lot easier in doing this. But you still have an awful lot of having to draw the image. Okay. All right, the next one is a set that I optimistically put up last week. And that was the DOM CIS 122 code zip. So you need to download that, and we will go through that. Okay, now I gotta find it or else I've got to download it. What did I call it? Date modify, that ought to tell me. That's really weird. I swear I put it on that particular drive. Oh, well. So I guess I will download this too. Okay, what did I call this? DOM CIS 122. Okay, so there they are. Okay, this is just a series of, again, kind of miscellaneous. Today is miscellaneous day. Just things that didn't quite fit in, but kind of interesting things. And I do not want to be here, so... Didn't I just unzip that? Maybe I didn't. This one is called anonymous function. So I'm going to enter a price of 100. And when I click on it, it comes back and tells me the markdown price is 80, is 90 rather. So the interesting thing about this is the function doesn't have a name. Why it's called an anonymous function. So I have a function here, and I'm not calling and doing it out in place. I'm just saying markdown, do this function. And this function is going to have use price. And inside, you can see the curly braces where it says return price times 0.9. So it's returning 90%. And then I use document get ID to put out the markdown, the price generated. Okay. This is useful, I guess, if you are trying to make the function just kind of fit into the code and make it small and you're not doing much of anything. But yes, I've never seen any terrible value to why I want to do that. But anyway, I put out a prompt. I say enter the price, they enter a price. And then the price is what I use in the function. So I say, okay, take the price there, multiply it by 0.9 and make it markdown. And then I go on and say, okay, now show me the markdown that the price gave. I'm curious. if I just say Mark down here, what reaction it's going to have. Where did I save that? Apparently saved it on the E drive as my... That's interesting. Notice what it does with this. When I left out the word price after it, it said the price is, and it went to Markdown, and Markdown actually gave me back the function price. It gave me back the code. Okay, the code that I had written here, it gave me that back as the output. And I remember playing with that, and I didn't remember what it did. I knew it did something. Okay. And then if I put price back in there, oh. It gives me the price of 90. And as I said, for some, I forgot what it did if I didn't do that. So I tell it that I want the Markdown price, and it then returns the actual price. So that's something you can play around with if you so desire. Okay, this is basic arrays. Enter a number from 0 to 4, so I'm going to enter 2. And it is giving me lots of things. So let's take a look at how this works. Okay. First of all, I can weigh it out. I can lay it out. There we go. I can lay it out as an array literal or using new. Okay? So new is the way that we used to do it all the time. And now they're saying I can lay it out this way. So the array literal would be laid out as variable and I put them all inside square brackets. If I am using the new, then I say new array, and I put them in round brackets. Okay? So I can lay it out in either of those two ways. Okay? So that's one thing to notice here. So I started out and I put the array in down here again. To access the array and get technology, know that the index starts with 0. So I do the first, the pattern 4, and it gives me technology. Okay. Then I can let the user choose, and I put in a 2, So a 012 got me marketing. Okay. If I put out just departments, which is just the array, notice that I get the entire thing. Okay, so here's where I put it out with the which is what the prompt was. And so that got me marketing. If I just write departments here, I get the entire array. Okay, so I get the entire one. Then I set up a small little array with pet, and I said I wanted pet one, and it gave me pet one, which is a Malamute. And this is basically the point I wanted to make here, is here I have a series of departments, and that's kind of the traditional way you think of an array. On this one, I have information that is a little different. So I'm saying the pet is a dog, and the type of dog is a Malamute. And then I could have the next line say cat, Persian, whatever. So that I have different information. So the zeros one would get me the type of pet it was, category-wise. And a one would get me specifically what it was, i.e. it's a Malamute. Okay, so I could set up multiples of those, so I could have dog, Malamute, cat, Persian, all going across in there. Then I can get the department length, which told me it was 5. I can reverse it, which got me backwards. Okay, the reverse got me backwards. And then the sort was kind of an interesting one. Okay, the sort, I went down and I put in some numbers, and it's funny that they apparently tell you that, and I've never actually tried this before, I was doing kind of roaming around and finding interesting things, that if I want to sort these numbers, I can do it this way, returning the return AD, and it actually puts the numbers into order. The problem being that the numbers that I was trying to sort, some of them are 2 digits, some of them are 3 digits. And apparently when you put it in that way and tell it to sort that way, then it does the calculation of the difference between them and therefore figures out how to sort them in order. I just ran across that, so I threw it in at the bottom. I have never tried it. I've never really played with it. I just saw it and thought it would be something kind of worth playing with. It says numeric sorts are difficult because the numbers are converted to strings. And so if they're different lengths, you know, when you're dealing with strings, 62 compared to 200, it compares the 6 of the 2. 6 is greater than 2, so 62 is greater than 200. And it doesn't allow that. So as I said, I thought that was just kind of interested and threw that in there if anybody wants to play with it. Whoops. Not what I wanted to do. And then this one is dealing with a group. Okay.
So this one is dealing with a group. So I came in here and I wrote out, and I said the division ID equals the group. And then I wrote out three paragraphs. So I wrote out, this is a group that contains three paragraphs. I wrote out the three paragraphs and then I ended it. So all of this came from here. So that part came from there. And then I went down and I said, okay, I'm going to set up a division for retrieve paragraph and a division for retrieve group, a paragraph for retrieve group. And then I said, okay, division location equals get element by group. So I'm going up and getting this whole group. And paragraph group is going to division and get elements by tag name P. So I'm going to this group and I'm looking for elements with tag name P. Okay? So I'm looking for tag name of paragraph. And then I said, okay, paragraph one, write that out, okay, and that's going to be paragraph one is going to write out, this is the second paragraph in the group, and then write all of the stuff in div loc means it writes all four. Okay. So as I said, what this does for you is it gives you an awful lot of control. That if you want to go in and get a particular thing, a particular sentence for some reason, you get an awful lot of control. Okay, this is setting up class. So I've got an ID equals group, and then each paragraph in there is a class equals part. So I put the class equals part there. Follow that through and see if you can follow what's going on, and then we will talk about it. So I start out and say all parts equals document get elements by class name part. So anything that has a class name part is going to go into all parts. And then I said, okay, result one, which is up here, these are just areas that I want to put stuff up in. Result one is going to be all parts modified by the index or subscripted by the index two. Okay, so that's going to be 0, 1, 2, and that gets me this one here, the third paragraph, right? So that one gets me the third paragraph. And then the next one says all pots zero, so that's getting me the first one. Okay, so this first one comes from there. Okay. And then I said, all right, set up answer. And I went through a loop. And what does the loop do? The loop says, okay, answer equals answer plus. So it is going through and it's saying answer has nothing in it. Now I'm going to go from I equals zero to the length of all parts. And I'm adding one each time. And then I'm saying, okay, answer equals what's already in an answer plus the next, the all parts modified by a subscript. So answer starts out at nothing. The first time through, answer now has, this is the first paragraph. Okay. And I put in a break there. And then the next time through, answer is equal to, this is the first paragraph. I add in the second one, so I add in, this is the second paragraph. It now says both. The next time through, answer already has first paragraph, second paragraph. It adds in, this is the third paragraph. And it keeps going until it's got all the paragraphs. When I drop out of the loop, I say, in result three, put what's in answer. And so all of these are what come out of answer. Okay, all four of those. Because answer kept picking up one after another. Questions? Okay, why don't we take a break for a few minutes and then we will pick this up and then we'll look at the thing that I want you to do in class. Did I actually make that ink go away? Me either. But actually, I went away this weekend, even though I felt lousy, so it was a double whammy. My back was killing me, but we hadn't seen the New York grandchildren for a while, so we wanted to see them.
What part of New York?
Brooklyn. They both work in Manhattan.